Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Today we're going to be speaking with, again, the General Secretary of the Revolutionary Organization of Labor, USA, Ray Light. And we'll be talking about the TPP and Fast Track. And unfortunately, the day after this interview, Congress did give Obama Fast Track authority. So Ray will be talking about what are the implications of TPP and what should our response be to it. So stay tuned and we'll be back with Ray Light of the Revolutionary Organization for Labor, USA.
Ray Light, welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
It's great to be here with you, Cindy.
Well, it's awesome to be back with you again. I was telling you our last show had got some great response, so people asked me to invite you back, so now you're back. And you're, like I say in the introduction, you're the General Secretary of the Revolutionary Organization of Labor.
USA.
USA, and ROL USA. Mm-hmm. And we, you send out a newsletter, I think it's every other month, like six times a year. And we're going to talk about this newsletter, which I have an article in, called Venezuela and the Hypocrisy of U.S. Empire. Mm-hmm. But your article is called Let's Stop TPP and Its Fast Track, TPP, the Economic Embodiment of the U.S. Empire's War at Home and Abroad. So,
Before, if I can interrupt you for a second, Comrade Cindy. We had a lot of debate, the assistant editor, Rose Brown, and I, around the title, because I was worried that that's a mouthful, economic embodiment, almost even without the rest of it, is a big mouthful for people to handle. Mm-hmm. But the idea that we got in there, stop the TPP and its fast track, at least gives people the idea of where we're going with it. And I will try to explain that title, even if it takes the whole segment that we're doing to do it.
Well, you start the article off basically saying that this TPP situation, especially the fast track, just kind of, I'm just going to quote you from the article, that the key link to TPP passage is the granting of fast-track authority by the Republican-controlled Congress to their supposed nemesis, Democratic President Barack Obama. So Barack Obama, we're always told that there's some kind of, you know, battle between Democrats and Republicans, but to get the fast-track passed and to ultimately get TPP passed, Barack Obama needs the Republicans, and they're working very well together on this.
You're 100% correct, as you usually are. And I actually thought about you quite a bit when I was writing this first section, because exactly of the fact that you have exposed over the years that there was a anti-war movement when it was an anti-Republican war, and there's been hardly an anti-war movement since Barack Obama became president.
Right.
And as you said, and as I write in this first section of the article, the Republicans are key to the passage of the TPP. And Wall Street, the real people running the show, need their lackeys in both the Republican and the Democratic Party, or at least their main lackeys in both of those parties, to come together. And as I say here, for those that have had illusions that the Democrats, and especially that Barack Obama, somehow really wanted to do right by the 99% of us, that he really wanted to do the right thing by the working people, for the Afro-American people, for the Latino people, and for the middle class that he usually talks about, even though he doesn't talk about the working class and the Afro-Americans and Latinos very much, that somehow it was because of the bad old Republicans that good old Barack Obama was not able to do all these good things with us and for us. And so what a lesson. What a lesson for the people, especially the people who make up the 99% of us, and have some confidence that we can fight for a more just society and a more just world. What a lesson when they see Mitch McConnell, the demon of the Democrats, becoming the savior of Democratic President Barack Obama, and actually save the fast track for fast track authority for Barack Obama in the U.S. Senate several weeks ago. And as we're doing the interview, the House, under another demonic power, according to the Democrats, John Boehner, is trying to do the same thing again. And so the way I feel about it is that you, Comrade Sheehan, or Sister Sheehan, or Comrade and Sister Sheehan, these people all, if they were honest, they owe you a hell of a apology, because you were absolutely correct. And the TPP, it's such an important, it's not really a trade agreement, but it's so important to the U.S. ruling class, to Wall Street, to get it passed, that they're willing to expose the real connection, the real cooperation between their Republican and Democratic puppets, and how they operate in the interests of Wall Street. So I suppose we, you know, we're going to get into a little bit of what, why the TPP is so important, but I'm let you ask the questions.
Why it's so important to, like you said, the ruling class.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we are going to get into that, but not quite yet.
Okay.
It's interesting, as you point out, that the main opposition in the Senate of the, you know, bourgeois politicians is Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren. So she's actually like the main opposition. But when I was looking at this issue for this interview, it seems to me there's more talk about this feud between her and Obama. And, you know, also there's a few other Democratic senators that are opposed to fast track, like, you know, Sherrod Brown of Ohio.
Right.
And so they feel like...
Excuse me, but even a pseudo-Democrat named Sanders from Vermont.
So they have, like... And to me, it seems like it's more about that than actually what is fast track and actually what is the TPP. So I see most of what happens in Washington, D.C., or washed-up D.C., as I like to call it, just that, just deceit. It's like a play, like they're play-acting something. So we can talk more about Obama. Like you said, Obama is getting more love and support from the Republicans on this issue. And then there's some, of course, a lot of Democrats support Fast Track and support the TPP. And so then we have this all this talk about this opposition between Obama and his own party. What do you feel about that?
Well, I feel that the biggest difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, especially in relation to national politics, is that they're each speaking to a different base.
Right.
But they're each speaking to a different base in a different voice in the cause of the same Wall Street ruling class. In the cause of those that were too big to fail, in the cause that were of those who were not too big to get almost a $1 trillion bailout twice, once from Bush, and then when Obama mm-hmm. went in, he upped it a little bit and gave him a little bit more. So they're working in that cooperative way that they do. And, you know, it's really a dance more than it is a fight. And they're dancing for Wall Street.
Right.
So I think Warren was representing, Senator Warren was, and Sherrod Brown and Senator Sanders, they're representing at least a part of the 99% to the extent that they're expressing this opposition to the TPP. That doesn't mean that they're going to be with us
right.
through thick and thin.
No.
But it does underscore how much President Obama is a tool of Wall Street and an enemy of 99% of us, at least, in this country.
But you also, the title is also like the war at home and the war abroad. And, you know, I read a lot about this morning, so I have the article right in front of me, but I'm not sure if you wrote it in the article or if I read it somewhere else. Yeah, you know, like I'm skimming it. One of the lobby groups that really was pushing for the fast track was Boeing.
Yes, Boeing was pushing for fast track, but Boeing was really pushing even more for having the guarantee that the Export-Import Bank of the United States be supported by the same bipartisan effort led by Obama, so that, because that's on the verge of having its time terminated, the Export-Import Bank.
Right, right.
So the two senators from Boeing in Washington State.
The two senators more from Boeing.
Yeah. I mean, years ago, Senator Scoop yeah. Jackson was called the senator from Boeing.
Right.
The Democrat from Washington. And now the two women senators from Boeing now, including Murray, who was a very, very important member of the Senate.
Right. She's like number four in the Senate hierarchy. Mm-hmm.
And she may be even higher in terms of what they the key economic issues that they place mm-hmm. her into key positions for. Those two senators from Boeing in Washington State and the new Boeing base in South Carolina had none other than Republican Senator Lindsey Graham. And the three of them, together with four other Democratic senators, were in kind of the final push that made a majority, a 60% majority.
Since
the Senate,
yeah.
you know, the senators operated in such an undemocratic way all
right.
along. They needed 60, and they got it with the promise from McConnell and Obama together that they would look favorably on the Export-Import Bank being continued, because mm-hmm. the Export-Import Bank means hundreds of millions of dollars for Boeing
right.
in being able to sell its planes abroad. So that was that deal. But I think we could say that the Democrats, because they speak to a broader base in general, that there are some Democrats that like in the House now, that there are some who are progressive enough that they might take a stand that opposes Wall Street on one or another issue. And then the Tea Party has a big base in the House.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tea Party also, even with, not in spite of their white supremacy, but to some extent because of their white supremacy, they're so opposed to Barack Obama. And despite all the efforts of the Wall Street Journal to try to convince all of the Republicans that they need to line up behind Obama on this, the terrible race prejudice or chauvinism, that I call it, the white chauvinism, of some of these reactionary Tea Party forces, is helping to make them do the right thing, which is to oppose Obama on the question of fast track. So fast track, Cindy, as you know, is basically ties the hands of the Congress, the Congress itself tying its own hands, so that when the bill finally appears, they can't really discuss or alter anything that's substantial in what really is a treaty more than a trade agreement. There's almost no trade. There's almost no trading in it, and the whole. I don't want to get caught up in that side of it yet, but the fact is that the Congress is by if they pass it, will be giving Barack Obama and any future president under this basically dictatorial authority to sign treaties with other countries.
I think this might be a good time to get into why do we oppose?
Right.
Why should we oppose the TPP? Not because the Tea Party opposes it or we're white supremacists, but why should we oppose it?
Right. Well, we should oppose it because it's anti-worker. It's anti the people of the United States, the 99%, and it's anti the 99% of the people in all the other countries that sign it. And that is, it's really, as much as been leaked out, because this has far more been done in secret, in top secret, by maybe 500 corporate staffers from the biggest corporations and banks for over 6 years. In top secret, and even now, when Obama criticized Senator Warren for not knowing what she was talking about, all Senator Warren could talk about, because Obama prohibited any direct quotes from the TPP, she was allowed to go and see what was in it, but she's not allowed to quote from them. She's not allowed to have her staff people involved with any of the documentation of how bad it is. So if NAFTA was bad, NAFTA wasn't done at anywhere near the level of secrecy that this has been done. And the fact is that the corporate tribunals that we've seen with the World Trade Organization, they will be the arbiter of the law. So for example, we elect in a wretchedly non-democratic way, but nevertheless, we put people into offices in this country, and those people in turn make laws.
Put people into offices?
Well, they're put in by the rich people.
Right.
But if the things are done at the wrong time for them, we throw them out. For example, in 2006. The Democrats, under the banner that they were a peace party, took over both houses of Congress. And it was a definite anti-war motion from among the people that did it.
Right.
And even though in the end it turned out that the Democrats were also a war party, like the Republicans were, nevertheless, the fact that the people could remove these folks and change who was in there had some potential for us and some threat to the ruling class. Well, the TPP gives them the ruling class, absolute control. Because the laws that, what I was starting to say about these laws, a law that's passed in the United States, let's say the environmentalists get really behind mandating labels for all meat, indicating what country is the source of that meat. So then you know what kind of laws for producing that meat, processing that meat exists, and you can decide as a consumer perhaps whether you want to buy meat from that country or not. Well, TPP will give any corporation from any one of the 12 countries, if they all affiliate, the ones that are on the Pacific Rim that are now that have been putting this together for over 6 years, it would give them the opportunity to rule that a law, let's say, that was passed in the United States, mandating that country of origin for all meat, that tribunal that's picked by the corporations and the banks could rule that that was detrimental to the profits of those corporations. And on that basis, they could force us, the taxpayers in the U.S., to pay them for all lost profits and for potential lost profits in the future. Don't ask me how they're going to arrive at that.
Right. But
it's not going to be in our favor, let's put it that way.
For sure.
And then beyond that, if once that ruling is made, they will then be able to throw out the law of this country. So, you know, I was glad that we were having this this exchange and this interview as we come close to July 4th when we celebrate independence. And even though there's a lot of negative things that went on with the founding of the United States, and especially the genocide against the people that were already here.
Right.
The fact is that Independence Day has a positive side to it. It was a revolution that threw out the colonial power of Britain and set up an independent government, which did not have a king, which was an interesting part of the, I mean, it's a reflection of the progressive aspect of that revolution. So here we have this positive celebration that we're about to have, and Independence Day, and at the same time, the TPP represents the loss of independence. There won't be sovereign laws in the United States as long as any law impinges on the profits of the biggest corporations of the United States and these other countries, including Japan and Vietnam, Canada, Mexico, Peru, and a number of others. So that's a reason. That's an important reason why we should be opposed to it. The question of fracking. You know, there are all these dangerous to the environment, dangerous to our human habitat laws that are and technologies that are being implemented in various parts of the world. This will mean the TPP will be the people of the United States through these Congress people signing off that we don't have any rights to defend ourselves against the greed of the biggest banks and corporations. And then the same thing is true for laboring people in general, that the target of the working class within the 99% is, in my view, the principal target. And in the world, among the 12 countries, if all of them sign on, it will mean the pitting the workers from one country against the others, and the lowest standards will end up being the standards for all. And then again, those corporate tribunals ruling on whether or not workers have any rights, well, when they're, first of all, a corporate tribunal selected by the corporations, and one minute they're representing the corporation directly, and the next minute they're on a tribunal hearing another case.
Right.
Then the odds of workers having any justice at all are zero to 100% the other way. So as working people, as people from the middle class, as people from the oppressed nationalities, we have every reason to strongly oppose the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, and fast track is probably the only way that the ruling class can slip this thing through under the current circumstances. I was just talking to a close friend a few minutes ago, and she raised with me that there's this, I think she called it Jade Helm,
yeah.
15, the largest war game in the USA ever.
Right.
And it seems like it's an attempt to see, to find out how the people of the United States would respond to martial law. Because if TPP passes, I don't think there's much question that the people of the United States and relatively short period of time will revolt. And so the question of whether, you know, we've seen in Ferguson and other Ferguson, Missouri, and other places, the militarization of the police.
Right.
That's no accident either. But this is the direct use of the military in the United States on the people of the United States. And that's
which
all.
Which is absolutely unconstitutional.
Yes, it is.
So, wow, you know, Obama, President Obama, has been an absolute gift to the ruling class. He's been a gift to Wall Street. He's been a gift to the military-industrial complex. And he's been, a disaster for, like you say, the 99%. And when you say it won't be long before the people revolt in this country, what situation do you see that would cause that? Because it seems like we're assaulted on a daily basis, our rights, our humanity, our dignity, everything is like a daily basis. We're just like assaulted with just horrible things that the U.S. empire is doing in, of course, partnership with the global corporations and the global elite.
Right.
So what situation do you see when America, the U.S., people in the U.S. will finally say, well, we've had enough?
Well, I think that that's a fair question. Mm-hmm. And you and I are close friends. And we feel the frustration of the fact that so much injustice is being done to the people, and yet the people are not, in most places, are not responding as we would hope.
Right.
But we have had 60 years and more now of U.S. imperialist hegemony in the world capitalist camp, and we, even though the empire is in decline, and that's that's a lot of why the TPP is being propagated right now against China. In particular, the fact of the matter is that when we see Ferguson is one small city in the United States, and yet its citizens just rose up mm-hmm. around the blatant, really lynching of Michael Brown,
mm-hmm.
and it led to this movement that's now come into existence against the police murders, the blatant wholesale murders by police of Afro-American youth in particular. And so that's a glimpse of something that appeared out of nothing in a very short period of time and out of one incident. But I think the nationalism or the national chauvinism or the great nation chauvinism in the United States has been an important impediment to the people of this country taking up for itself.
Right.
In other words, if we're being the worst nightmare for the people of the Middle East and supporting Bush and Obama in these wars, for oil and natural gas and conquest in the Middle East, then how are we in a position, if we're Afro-Americans in the United States, how do we fight for Black Lives Matter in the United States when we're supporting that enemy
right. That's
killing our youth in the United States when we support that enemy abroad?
Uh-huh.
So I think that the one thing that the TPP may do, if it's successful against us, is that it's going to represent a global tyranny over us, which we are that our national chauvinism will not prevent us from seeing that we need to fight against it. So I think you mentioned the term. I don't know if you said global capitalist tyranny, but
mm-hmm.
but certainly that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And all this national chauvinism that's built up over the years, the U.S. is number one, we're number one, everyone else is number two, if you know what I mean, then that goes, a lot of that goes out the window. So I think that's a big factor. And then the extent of the demise of the U.S. as an empire, the decline the decline of the empire and the decline of the standard of living of the people in the heart of the empire,
mm-hmm.
in the belly of the beast, as we call it. After a while, people only go on with the brainwash so long when they're hungry.
Right.
And that's where we're heading. That's really where we're heading here. And so so when I say the embodiment the U.S. Empire's war against us and against the rest of the people of the world, we've discussed, I think, the question of the war against us.
Mm-hmm.
But the TPP is aimed in the first place against the rise of China. And China really is rising economically and in other ways, militarily and politically as well. As we speak, and it's been remarkable in the article documents some of the rapid domination that China has achieved in areas like exporting and importing, as against the export import bank of the United States. Their ability to have a global reach commercially has been it's really been a remarkable rise, and the TPP is a perfect complement for the U.S. Empire's pivot toward Asia that goes right along with their military
pivot,
gone along with their military pivot.
Right, absolutely. So, and we only have a few minutes left, but I think one of the reasons that for this segment, that one of the reasons that your last appearance was so popular is that you mentioned capitalism many, many times in this interview, but the analysis is from a Leninist, Marxist kind of...
Mm-hmm.
And in your conclusion, you point out from scientific socialism and analysis of what Lenin would have thought or written about the TPP, and that is not John Lennon, but
no, that's right.
A lot of my listeners might be thinking we're talking about John Lennon,
right.
But we're talking about Vladimir V.I. Lenin, Comrade
mm-hmm.
Lenin,
mm-hmm.
that what he would think of it, and of course, he brilliantly taught us that imperialism is the last dying stage of capitalism. But what would his analysis be of scientific socialism of the TPP?
Well, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but I would say
I think you're one of of all the people I know, I think that you are one of the most qualified people to put words in his mouth because you are very knowledgeable and have studied... studied his philosophy a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that, but from a Leninist point of view, that doesn't make, I can't say, what would, you know, it's not like what would Jesus say or what would
right.
Lenin say, but it is trying to understand from the point of view of the Leninist contradictions. He said that there were three fundamental contradictions that plague capitalism at its imperialist stage.
Uh-huh.
And one of those is the contradiction between the what was then the hundreds of millions and is now the billions of colonial and dependent peoples of the world and the handful of major imperialist powers, which in our time has mostly been the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And that one of the points that's made, that we make here is that in the other 11 countries that may be joining this thing with the United States, the tyranny is at the essence of the TPP. I think
mm-hmm.
we brought that out in this interview. But the tyranny directed when you have the corporate tribunals, who selects the tribunals and who makes the decisions, and a lot of that is dependent on who has the biggest army and the most powerful army. Who already has the empire,
mm-hmm.
Political machinery, and that is the United States. The next biggest power, and it's an important economic power, is Japan inside among these 12 countries. And Japan is occupied by the U.S. military right now,
absolutely.
And still does not have laws that would allow it to have a significant military. So when this TPP, if it goes into effect, and if the United States is a part of it, then the oppression of the other 11 countries within the TPP will be ferocious.
Mm.
And so that's one, that contradiction that Comrade Lenin discussed as one of the fundamental ones. In fact, he said the essence of imperialism lies in the fundamental distinction between the oppressing and the oppressed nations. The second one is the contradiction between labor and capital, and we've already discussed the race to the bottom of pitting the workers in any one of these countries, like the United States, against the workers in, let's say, in Peru, or mm-hmm. the workers in Japan, or the workers in Vietnam, or Mexico. And so the race to the bottom...
Who are already so oppressed and
exactly,
impoverished.
Right, exactly. And then it's not only... It's without the TPP, yeah. And so the TPP just provides them an unbridled rule or reign over us. And the final one is the contradiction among the imperialist groupings and powers themselves. And again, the main reason for this being this TPP, this Trans-Pacific Partnership being established right now, is an attempt by U.S. imperialism, the declining empire, to hold on to a large section of the world's production in the face of this rising China, which is you know, really rapidly outpacing the U.S. economically. And so this is the question of the contradiction among the imperialist powers that leads to a major imperialist war. We're seeing this TPP as a new bloc in the process of development leading to a major global war, tragically. So that's how it's the TPP is the embodiment of the economic embodiment of the U.S. Empire's war against us and against the rest of the peoples of the world from a standpoint of a Leninist perspective.
Okay, perfect. Well, Ray Light, we have run out of time. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
Yes, I'd like to say that to the listeners, if the House has not yet passed this fast track, by the time you hear this, please call your congressperson and go to your union meeting if you haven't done it already and get the word out to the rest of the brothers and sisters out there. We got 99% of us at least who have a stake in blocking the fast track for TPP, because it's a fast track to our ruin and a fast track to our enslavement, to open enslavement at the hands of Wall Street and the Republican and Democrats, or as we call them, the Republican rulers of our country.
The Demo-Publicans. Mm-hmm. Or just go to Washington, D.C. and surround Congress with pitchforks and torches. Let's get this revolt going sooner than waiting for TPP to pass.
Yep.
So, Ray Light, and I also want to say that you can find the newsletter, a downloadable version, at the Soapbox People's Network, and that is the Revolutionary Organization of Labor, USA.
Yeah.
ROLUSA, and it really is valuable analysis that you can share far and wide. So please go to the Soapbox People's Network or Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
And it's Rail Light Newsletter number 90.
And this one is there. Number 90.
Right.
All right, Ray.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Comrade Cindy, you're a wonderful comrade. You're a wonderful sister.
Thank you, Ray. Yeah. And you're a wonderful comrade, but you're a wonderful brother.
Well, thank you for that, too.
Yeah, I noticed. Okay, thanks again for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
Well, that's Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox for this week. I hope you were informed and inspired, because I know I was. Also, I'm not a big advocate of calling our Congress critters Congress scumbags there, but I think this time call them and say that you are against passage of TPP, and if your Congress scumbag votes to pass TPP, then tell them that they won't be representing you anymore. I know that people like Boeing or institutions like Boeing and others have way more influence than we do on the U.S. government. But I heard that the calls were going 200 to 1 against Fast Track and passing the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So I'd like to thank Ray Light for being my guest this week and for the work he does at ROL USA. And please go to Soapbox People's Network and go to their page and read Ray's article and the other things we have posted from ROL USA. I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar. I'd like to thank my assistant, Dee Dee Miller, and you for listening and supporting the show. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.